But that's Him. What a joy to be with you, dear folks, and in this service tonight. We can never begin to tell you how important it is that you're here. But there's someone here better than you. Bigger than you. More blessed than we are. I'm glad that He promised us in His Word that He'd never leave us nor forsake us. I'm glad that He said, if you'll get together, I'll be there. Because without Him, we're nothing. He clearly says in this book, without me, you can do nothing. Has it ever dawned on you how much nothing is? It's a big old zero with the rim knocked off. Absolutely nothing. We've looked at incarnation, that is Christ with us, redemption, Christ for us. Tonight I want us to look at resurrection. Christ assures us. I use that phrase, assures us, because He said in John 14 and verse number 19, because I live, ye shall live also. For your life and mine, there's no end of the road here. Of course, there won't be one there either. This life He has given us is eternal. You don't have to turn. I'm just going to give a portion of a verse for a springboard into which I want to talk tonight. Acts tells us in chapter 17 at verse 18, the closing phrase, He said, He, that is the Apostle Paul, He preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. You see, He not only preached unto them Jesus, He preached, you might have put Him on the tree, but God got Him out of the ground. Got Him up. You see, if there is no empty tomb, there's no credible cross. If there's no resurrection, there's no Christianity. On that first Easter day, God did one of the most wonderful things that He has ever done before. And that is simply that He got His Son up. You see, the resurrection of Christ is the ultimate act of God. Which is the cornerstone upon which our Christianity is built. We need this Bible truth. You see, if the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is real, then could I say to you tonight, God exists? If the resurrection of Jesus Christ is real, then as His Son proclaimed Him, He is to bless you and me. If He got up from the dead, then there's life after death. If He got up from the dead, then Jesus Christ really is the way, the truth, and the life. If Jesus Christ got up from the dead, there's no other religion like what you and I have, because we're the only one that has a living Savior now. They put him in the tomb, but they couldn't keep him there. I'm simply saying to you tonight this. If the resurrection of Jesus Christ is true, and what Peter himself wrote and said, then is Christ risen from the dead. Then Christ's resurrection was prophesied. His resurrection was predicted. His resurrection was performed. You see, when we say that Christ got up from the dead, we're saying something that is vital and important to what it is you and I believe in. This is no hocus-pocus message. It's not empty. There's some truth in it. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Paul said, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You see, the verses tell you if there's no resurrection, there wouldn't be no salvation for you. But if you believe in the resurrection of Christ, he simply said, thou shalt be saved. The predominant message of the New Testament is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for the cross. But it couldn't be credible that there wasn't a resurrection. I'm saying to you, my listening friends, that when Jesus died and rose again, the book of Acts opened up and said, we got to choose another, watch this now, to be a witness of the resurrection of Christ. That's our message, to go forth and tell the resurrection of Christ. Then if God has raised His Son up, then you and I are to be witnesses of that resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, simply because Christ is risen again. We're not forced to tell it. We ought to desire to tell it. It's an exciting truth that thrills us. I've kindly noticed, I'm going to pick on him too, that every time Garen has spoke, he's talked about his wedding day. Why? Because it is a reality in his life and he's a looking forward to it. You see, the reality of the resurrection ought to be so real and bright in our heart and life that we want to tell others about it. You see, when Christ was on the cross, it wasn't his last word because he occupied the cross. But because he got up from the grave and left it unoccupied. And left it empty for you and me to tell others about. You see, the cross wasn't an exit. Oh, no, no. The resurrection was an entrance. You and I have a message in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's real. How it thrills our soul. You see this resurrection. When you talk about resurrection, it's not only a radiant fact. It's a radiant faith for you and me. It begins to burn. It begins to glow within our heart and within our life. You see this immortality Christ has, that God has, is passed on to you and me. And now you and I that are saved by the grace of God, God has given us a life that will never end. It's just go on forever and ever and ever. It cannot fade away. The Bible said that we have a hope that's reserved in heaven for us. There's a reservation that has been made. Eternal life has been bestowed upon us through the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And you and I rejoice in that reality tonight. If you're in here a believer in Christ, you're not a part of that world that's dead in trespasses and sin. You're a part of a new world now. And we're alive in Christ Jesus. Oh, we're going to lay this body down one day. It'll go back to Mother Earth, to the dust of the earth. But that won't be you. It'll be the temple that you dwelled in while you was here on earth. Thank God for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul preaching, he said, but now. Notice that word now. But now being made free from sin and become servants of God. You have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. What awesome truths God has given us. It wasn't you and I that abolished death. It was our Savior that abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to life through the gospel. This eternalness, this everlasting life, this immortality is simply because He lives. And in Him living, He assures us that we're going to live forever and ever. Aren't you glad that the wages of sin has been paid? The wages of sin is death. Christ paid that debt. And when you got saved, the Bible said, you who were dead in trespasses and sin, hath He quickened, made alive. So we're alive in the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And if this resurrection be true, then that life is available to us that we might live in the manner in which our Savior lived. He didn't save you to leave you helpless. He saved you to give you what you need to live like His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, what a tremendous truth. He assures us, He declares to us in His Word that it's a reality. But the ultimate, the infinite glory of God, seen when we see Himself wrapped in common flesh, in a common body, placed in a common manger, admitted He had come to save common sinners, died like a common criminal, was put in a common grave. But that commonness become a radiant glory when He got up from the dead. You see, He called common fishermen, but the message they had was common no more. The job they had was common no more. You see, what He did surpasses all understanding. It's a radiant glory to you and to me. It brought to us love and mercy. It's more refreshing than rain. It's more necessary than breath. Philosophers cannot explain it. Water cannot drown it. Fire cannot bury it. The grave could not hold Him. He got up from the dead. His enemy said, I've entombed His person. The enemy said, I've erased His performance. I have ended His peace. I've embarrassed His people. I've exhausted His power. But I want to tell you, my God got up from a dusty grave, pulled off a dying grass shroud, stepped out on resurrection ground and said, I am He who was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. And how the keys of death and of hell. You see, He rose a victor over the dark domain. He confounded their counsel. He canceled their efforts. He said, I am, present tense, He that liveth, I was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. That empty tomb become an everlasting triumph. Peter and John started running. the Emmaus disciples started returning. Thomas started rejoining. The church started rejoicing. Jerusalem started reeling. Because he got up. There was a deserter, but he became bold. There was a doubter, but he believed. They were discouraged, but they become encouraged. There were deniers, but they become declarers. Because the tomb was empty. Here is the truth that takes us out of the shades of night and places us in the plains of light. He takes us out of the realm of fear and turns our pining into praising, our groaning into glorifying. Because He's a victor from the dark domain. Folks of high class. Folks of low class. Folks of no class have experienced this resurrection and it totally changed their life. And the high, the low, and the no become one in Christ Jesus. Nothing can do that but the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. All of those high, low, and no begin to sing with 10,000 times, 10,000 and thousands of voices, singing of His mighty power to save. The devil will never stop the message. As long as there's a church on this earth, God will have somebody preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. It'll never stop. When the church is taken out, you and I'll be gone. Absolutely. But I want to tell you the message will still be true. You see the indefinable lengths, the incredible heights, the immeasurable depths, the inexhaustible width of the great love of God. Cannot even be slowed down. It's going to prevail. The same gospel that saved in the revival is still saving today. I know we're in the reaping age. I know that. And the gleaning, rather, age. We're not reaping them by the hundreds. But aren't you glad that God's a snatching the fruit from the smut walls of the damned and placing them on a lighted path for all of eternity. All the words of all the languages most beautifully spoken, most eloquently declared can only express in a mighty small manner the glories of the Christ of God because He's just too much. That's what the word inexhaustible means. He's too much. You can't use Him up. Get all the grace you need. You'll never bankrupt heaven. He's been saving souls for 2,000 years since Calvary. And you can read it in your Bible tonight in John 1:14. He's still full of grace and truth. The very thing He saves us with. Aren't you glad for that? You see, God never saves you out of love. He saves you according to His mercy. So it doesn't go, how would you like to have a banking account like that? The more you used it, the more there was there to use. Wouldn't that be all? Could I tell you, you got it in Christ? Was it Spurgeon that wrote about the check, you know? There's no limit to what you can get from Christ of God. Christ assures us the tomb is empty. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's interceding for you and me right now. What if He quit praying for you like you've quit praying to Him? He's interceding in our behalf. Well, it's 2 minutes after again. So I'm going to say this and shut up. Christianity has a God that knows the way out of the grave.